The Play Action Podcast is fueled by Picasso's Pizza, where every night is pizza night.
It is a short week for the Buffalo Bills, who will take on the Miami Dolphins in Thursday night football at home this week. Quick turnaround after they demolished the New York Jets in New Jersey. Let's start with the offense, as usual, Lance. Just, you know, what were you seeing out of these last 2 weeks that you think they can pull forward for this Dolphins game? Again, on a short week where they don't have as much time to prepare.
Yeah, the most notable development that came out of that Jets game, in my opinion, was how they were able to run the ball. They couldn't run it against the Ravens. They had trouble doing it, but James Cook just, yeah, he went nuts. Their offensive line had a really good game against the Jets. And you can expect they're probably going to deploy a pretty similar strategy, you know, especially that, you know, the Dolphins, they're in a tough spot right now.
They are not doing great.
And on a short week to wear down your opponent, I mean, because the Dolphins are dealing with the exact same situation. I think, you know, especially when you're here, everybody's focusing on how this is impacting the Bills. Well, the Dolphins are dealing with the same thing. Short week, and, you know, their defensive line is good, but they've also gotten banged up these first couple of games.
Yeah, I think just kind of the way the Bills were able to win back-to-back weeks so differently, I think bodes so well for this offense of, you know, they don't have to be tied to one aspect of the game of, you know, Josh Allen, notably broken nose or injured nose. We don't know for sure if it was broken, but bloody nose, blood everywhere. I think he otherwise did not have that notable a game against the Jets, not in a bad way, just by his own high standards. But Joe Brady was saying Monday how that's kind of a good thing, that Josh doesn't need to have an explosive game and they can just win other ways. And that's so good for this offense.
Yeah, of course, because you're going to have those games where it's not exactly working. You know, to the Jets' credit, I thought their secondary played really well. They had some nice pass breakups to where Josh made some nice throws, but, you know, the corner makes a good play. There's really nothing you can do about that. And there's so much talk. I mean, like, Josh Allen, you know, the narrative is Josh Allen has to be Superman every week. Well, that wasn't the case against the Jets, right?
Exactly.
And it was pretty interesting to see the different ways that Joe Brady tried to attack the Jets, you know, just schematically. You know, they had three tight ends on the field quite a bit in that game, which is something we didn't see against the Ravens. So, you know, if they're able to run the ball in a game where, you know, the receivers maybe aren't getting open, or, you know, Allen doesn't have his best game, yeah, it's pretty notable. And this week, they're going to have to attack the Dolphins differently, especially I think it's going to be one of those games where Josh Allen's going to be throwing the ball a little bit more, because the Dolphins secondary also in a tough spot. That's probably their biggest weakness on their defense.
And Josh Allen loves playing the Dolphins. I don't know that he'll say that specifically, but the stats just show it. His games against them are nuts. I think I'm trying to remember how many times he's won AFC Offensive Player of the Week after playing them, and it's up huge chunk of his 16 wins.
Yeah.
So there's just something about this division rivalry that really he excels.
Yeah. And I think that you just focusing on that Jets game, like the receivers, not the best game for that group. You know, Keon Coleman, you know, he pushed off and took that offensive pass interference penalty. Joshua Palmer had that great catch on that throw by Mitch Trubisky. Like,
yes,
you know, that was quite the play. But otherwise, it was a very quiet day for that group compared to that Ravens game. And when you're not throwing the balls off, and that's going to happen. So that'll be one of those matchups to watch, right? You know, I think that the offensive line is going to be a little bit more challenged this week. It's a more difficult matchup. Miami's pretty good up front. But, you know, if they give Josh Allen time to throw, he's going to pick apart that defense.
And again, not only can he pick apart the defense, but I think just the different ways they can deploy guys. You mentioned the three tight end sets. I know that's something you're looking into this week. Joe Brady spoke a bit about it Monday. Just how it opens up different options for the team. They don't necessarily want to get away from, they're not going to never use the jumbo package, but now they have just different ways of whatever the flow of the game is telling them.
Yeah, it's interesting, like, because last year, how much they used that sixth offensive lineman, I think everybody expected, well, they're going to do the same, but it just goes to show you that Joe Brady evolving the offense and trying to find different ways to use the personnel at his disposal. And a big part of that was, I mean, Jackson Haas came in a late round pick. Nobody really knew. You know, I know that Joe Brady said he was the best blocking tight end they've evaluated, but at the same token, you don't know how a guy's going to handle bigger defensive ends in the NFL, the more difficult matchups. But the way that Jackson Haas will be able to stand in there and show up pretty well, it's been a nice wrinkle that they can add to the offense. And I think another part of these last 2 weeks, Catherine, that's gone a little overlooked is Dalton Kincaid. Yeah, everybody knows that he can catch the ball. He's a receiving threat. And the narrative surrounding him ever since they drafted him was, he's not as good of a blocker. He's somebody that they're going to have to split out wide. He's not going to be able to use inline. He's had some great blocks.
Yes.
And that really opens up. So when he's on the field, whether it's two tight end sets or one, like there's less predictability to the offense because now teams are going to have to respect the fact that this guy can block. He's not just out there to catch the ball.
Yeah, and I think for them to show this on tape so early in the season, you know, Joe Brady was talking Monday about how it demands defenses to respect their options too. It's not just they could line up and do this and it could be cute, but it's, no, they can actually pull this off. And I think that's such a huge difference. Props to Kincaid for improving in that area, because I think that's something, like you said, people noticed pretty early on of he needs to step up here and he's doing it in real time.
What have you thought about James Cook? It's funny looking back on some of the discourse about shouldn't pay him because they have Ray Davis. I mean, James Cook he's looked like one of the best running backs in the league the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I would say they made the right decision. Yeah. You know, he's showing them why he is worth what they are paying him and why they need him on this team. I think also just kind of his ability to have, you know, he almost like disappeared into bodies on that 44-yard touchdown run. And then all of a sudden he's downfield again. But then for the Bills to be able to go back to that play and kind of just be like, hey, this is working. We're going to keep doing it. Joe Brady talks some about that mentality of, you know, he's had times in the past where he's used a play and then gotten away from it. But now he's trying to be a bit more of, if it works, it works. And with Jimbo, it's working.
It was pretty crazy how many times they ran that same play with different personnel groupings, yes, with different wrinkles in it. But I mean, just a simple zone run. But when you have somebody like Cook who can cut back the way that he did, that was, yeah. I mean, that's going to, at the end of the season, I think that's going to be one of the highlights that people play as one of the best plays in the NFL this year by running back.
I like that. It's a week two and he's already ready for end of the season awards. But it was an incredible play.
The defensive line was such a topic of discussion going into that Jets game. Catherine, for good reason. No Ed Oliver. That's a pretty big loss. What they were going to do to cover up for not having him in that game, that group looked really good. And, you know, Bobby Babich did some different things. Javon Solomon was used inside. The standout to me, though, was Joey Bosa.
Yes.
And what he's been able to show the first 2 weeks of the season.
And I think that's so important going into the short week where the Bills are still unsure if they'll have Ed Oliver again for this game. But, I mean, Bosa just, not only the way he's playing, what he's doing even statistically, but kind of the vibe he's bringing about it, where like you can tell he's having fun. This is his 10th season, right, in the league. And yeah, you can tell that he's still, I think he's been rejuvenated a bit. What I loved hearing from the coordinators Monday, Bobby Babich was saying how his dad, Bob Babich, coached him in San Diego, coached Bosa. And he called him after the game, called the younger Babich. It's confusing with their names a bit. But he was saying, like, you can tell how much fun Joey Bosa is having right now. And he's doing it in a game-wrecking way, too. Like, you can just go out there and have a blast. That's great. But he is forcing fumbles. He's doing it in a limited snap count, too. Just the pressure he's causing, everything. And I think that's so important for the Bills to be able to keep him healthy. But he is, you know, taking so much advantage of that time.
Yeah, and he's getting a lot of one-on-ones at this point, which I don't think is going to continue. Once teams start to see the tape, they're going to start paying more attention to Joey Bosa, which is only going to make things, I don't want to say easier, but it's going to free up Greg Rousseau to make more plays.
Yeah.
It's going to free up your interior defensive lineman, or if they blitz, like, it is going to have a trickle-down effect for the entire defense that Joey Bosa is showing that he can still play at a very high level. Now, the snap count's going to be something very interesting to watch. I think after week one, Bobby Babich said they're going to try to dial it down a little bit, but it is going to be, if he continues to play this well, how are they going to balance it, especially in a close game where, okay, you want to make sure you're keeping this guy healthy, but at the same point, he's been one of their best players through the first 2 weeks of the season.
Right. Feed the hot hand, as they say. So I think that'll be, Babich mentioned it'll be game to game, which makes sense.
Yeah.
Obviously, towards the end of this game, defensive starters in general were able to get a little rest since it was, you know, quite the defensive performance. What else? I mean, there's so much to dive into on this defense. They had a phenomenal game. What else stood out to you?
The defensive tackles, not to focus on just one group right off the bat, but the fact that you bring on Zion Logue, who comes up in the practice squad, has a great game.
Yeah.
You know, and you have Deion Walker and TJ Sanders had to take on a few more snaps with that Oliver out. And not a perfect performances, of course, but definitely improvement, as Sean McDermott pointed out on Monday, which it's notable, right? I mean, I think the big adjustment, you know, even speaking to Deion Walker going to week one, is those rookies during the preseason, they weren't game planning for a specific opponent in the preseason. So once the season starts, they had to start thinking about the Ravens, and everything they're doing schematically is geared toward their opponent. And it was a big change for those rookies.
Of course.
So going into week two, they felt a lot more comfortable. Okay, this is what we're going to be doing. This is how the week is going to look. You know, when you're in a pro, because in college, it just looks different. So the fact that those guys held their own was significant, in my opinion, especially since Ed Oliver, we haven't had this confirmed, but Catherine, it seems like a very distant long shot that Al Oliver is going to be on the field on Thursday.
I'd be surprised if they had him out there just based off the turnaround and, you know, give him a little more time to rest before more parts of the season. You talked to Zion Logue after the game. How was he feeling after his performance?
Really, I think he had a lot to prove. You know, he explained that, you know, his two games last season, he didn't feel that he showed what he can do in the NFL. He thought that he struggled. Yeah. And those snaps that he played bothered him all offseason. Okay. And were sort of a source of motivation going into this year, because he knew that it was going to be tough to make this roster based on the defensive linemen they brought in. And you just don't know how much time, how many opportunities you're going to have to stick in the league. So to come out, and it was interesting, you know, talking to Daquan Jones after, he goes, I'm not surprised at all. I mean, Zion's been showing it since camp started that he's just different this year. And that year two jump is something you see often, you know, from any position group, but it just goes to show you that this organization has developed depth. I mean, you want to be able to trust these guys in the practice squad. And, you know, and personally, I question their depth when right at the start, you know, right before the season starts, they bring in guys like Jordan Phillips and Jordan Poyer. You know, how do they feel about their practice squad guys? You know, how do they feel about their development? But the fact that you can bring up somebody on such, you know, I know Zion's had enough experience in the scheme that they know him by now, but for him to come in, like, he played really well. And it's not like the Jets offensive line is bad. There was a lot of talk coming out of week one, Catherine, the Jets offensive line is much improved, and it's one of their strengths. So for him to come out and show out the way he did, it's got to make the Bills feel better going into week three.
Yeah, I think the way they're able to develop guys is so key. We might see that at linebacker a bit. Matt Milano also, at this point in the week, we're not sure if he's going to play against the Dolphins. He has a pec injury he sustained during the game, missed the second half. Still waiting to find out a bit more about that injury, but Dorian Williams is next man up if anything, you know, is going on with Milano.
Yeah, and Dorian, he's good enough to start for most teams in the league. He showed that last season. He led this team in tackles, so it's not somebody who's inexperienced, but I think Matt Milano, what he brings from a leadership standpoint, the energy is something that somebody else in the defense is going to have to bring. And it's a loss. I mean, he was there, you know, he had a great camp. Mm-hmm. He's played really well through the game and a half that he's been on the field. I think it does bode well, though, that we saw him on the sideline Sunday, Catherine. He's still wearing his helmet. Yeah, he had his right arm in a brace. But at the same time, like, if it were a very significant injury, you would think that he wouldn't be on the sideline still, right?
100%. And I think we've seen Dorian get more snaps just from the different packages they've been running. So he's ready. You know, he's been out on the field. I think this will be a bit of a jump, but he did it last season too, as he mentioned. Let's talk secondary for a bit. You know, Sean McDermott was saying he saw a different look in their eyes. That can mean a lot of different things. He was saying it about Taylor Rapp and Cole Bishop specifically, but I thought they were much improved after a rough outing against the Ravens.
Very physical, especially Cole Bishop, whether it's the hit on Justin Fields. I mean, he took an unnecessary roughness penalty in the fourth quarter when it was a blowout. That just shows you, like, the intensity that he's bringing every snap. And that's something they want to see. I mean, Cole Bishop, they drafted him because when he was at Utah, he was in the box a lot. He was a hard-hitting safety. They reliable against the run. And they want to see him bring that mentality every snap. Like, they can deal with any sort of mistakes from any player, but you got to have that aggressiveness. And, you know, Dorian Williams, you mentioned him. He's somebody who brings it every snap. And they want to see it from those two safeties because they're so important to what they do on defense.
They are. And just what they put on their plate, you know, it's so critical for them. I thought Tre'Davious White was fun to see out there and had a good game. Bobby Babich mentioned he almost wished he was tested a little more, Tre'Davious, just to kind of get him back out there. But the Jets, we're not exactly testing this defense, I would say. But, you know, he has that tackle for loss and he's so celebratory and was just saying how this is such a big deal for him to be back with this team that I think that's going to motivate him every week.
Yeah, those corners were so good against the run. I mean, Christian Benford had a big DFL as well, and it's going to be a big, it's a much different matchup this week. Like, the Dolphins are going to, they're going to throw the ball, and they're going to test Tre'Davious White, whether that's against Tyreek Hill or Jaylen Waddle. The Bills have done really well against Tyreek Hill for the most part throughout his career. They let him have the underneath stuff. If it's there, they're not going to give him those deep throws. And that's something that you're going to see again. The deployment of the safeties is going to be interesting. Catherine, like, Taron Johnson is, you know, we're recording this on Tuesday. We don't know if he's going to play on Thursday. Based on the intensity of his pregame workout in New Jersey, I thought that he probably could have gone, but this might be a more of a precaution to keep him out of that game, especially just they knew the Jets were going to try to run the ball.
Yes.
But they're going to need him to be back in this game because, you know, the Dolphins run a lot of three wide receiver sets, and he's so good. Like, I thought Cam Lewis played really well in that game, but Taron Johnson is one of the best at his position in the league.
Yes, I think they definitely, you know, if it was a precautionary move to rest him to get him back for this Thursday night game, I would totally understand that. Of just, you want him out there against the Dolphins. What he's able to do, how he's able to diagnose an opposing offense. You know, I think he's shown it year after year, and that's something you want on the field Thursday night.
Fast start is going to be a point of emphasis for that defense. I mean, AJ Epenesa told me after the game in New Jersey that that's what they were talking about all week. You know, even after quite a few of the wins over the last few years, they get back in the locker room and they would be kicking themselves, just saying, we gave up the first points. Like, we didn't start well enough. They were tired of starting slow and quick turnaround. That defense wants to create momentum the way that they did against the Jets, whether that be a three and out to start the way that they did or turnover. So I think that this is going to be the big test. I mean, Greg Rousseau even said afterward, like, we know we're a good defense. We have to show it every week. And the Dolphins are coming in 0-2. They're going to have a lot to prove.
Miami Dolphins are coming into Orchard Park on a very pleasant week weather-wise.
Yeah.
But they are 0-2. They are, you know, already behind in a competitive, well, it's an interesting AFC, actually. It's different than I thought it was going to look. We'll touch on that at a different point in the season. But they, you know, they're playing. They need to be playing to win this game, obviously. But I think just kind of that pressure is on.
Never a good sign when players are being asked on a Monday about their coach's job security.
No.
And they haven't even played
week
their
three.
In week three, but it's justified. I mean, it's been... Yeah, their downfall has been kind of, it's been a soap opera most of the time, whether it be Tyreek Hill and or the issues on defense, them getting Vic Fangio fired. So there's a lot of issues at play here. This Dolphins roster just isn't good. It's not, there's a lot of holes on it, and there have been for multiple seasons. So this isn't just a coaching problem, in my opinion, Catherine. But yeah, I mean, they're going to come in very motivated to win this game. You know, not only for their coach and the possibility of him getting fired or whatever, but that was a pretty bad loss to New England last week. You know, you give up a lot of points, and that defense was supposed to be, you know, kind of the foundation of this team. I mean, the Dolphins defense kind of saved their bacon a lot of times last season, and yeah, they got cooked. And this, they're coming into a game against an offense that can beat you in multiple ways. So how do the Dolphins respond?
I think you mentioned kind of the soap opera of them having the players only meeting in week one. That is a bad sign anytime in the season. Typically, maybe every now and then there's one that goes really well and it motivates the team, brings them back together. But more often than not, I think it was JJ Watt was tweeting about how, like, you know, he's been or was in the league for so long, and that's always a sign of things are bad. And to have a players only meeting in week one after their loss to the Colts, I think that's just kind of telling of what's going on with this Miami team.
Yeah, they're a mess. I mean, it goes back, like, Tyreek wanted to quit on them late last season. Tua called him out in training camp saying he just doesn't, you know, he's got to earn everybody's trust again. Like, it's ugly. It's an ugly situation. They've got talent in certain spots, but it's a team that they're not the same. They don't look like the same Dolphins from a few years ago when they were the talk of the AFC, you know, that they can be the team to upset the Bills. But I think it just goes back to show you, Catherine, how difficult it is to sustain success in the NFL.
100%.
You know, like, they had their, I don't want to call them a flash in a pan, but they really should. They looked like an up-and-coming team in the AFC. But they lose a couple of players in free agency. You miss on draft picks. And really, that's all it can take for the bottom to fall out from underneath you. And just goes to show you I don't want to say rare, but it kind of is what the Bills have been able to build and just the, how they've been able to sustain success and losing players to injury or, you know, departures in free agency, how they're able to just rebuild and reload.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen injuries for this Dolphins team, too, and the difference is kind of the development behind them, that depth. I don't think they've been able to really do what the Bills are doing and having guys step up and just kind of, you know, not miss a beat as much as you can. Tua.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If he has to hold the ball for more than a few seconds, he's in trouble. And you saw the way Justin Fields, like going back to the game in week two, the Bills had Fields. He was really having trouble with the pressure the Bills created. So if they can do that against Miami, Tua's going to be seeing ghosts out there.
Yeah. And I think just, you know, you look at what he has done with this offense, but also his comments last week about how openly he was like, I can't throw it that far. Tyreek's got to slow down a bit. I'm paraphrasing. But that was kind of the takeaway where it was like, whoa, that is very honest of you.
Yeah.
And I appreciate honesty from players. I'm not saying they shouldn't be, of course. Let me be clear on that. But I think just kind of when they're struggling the way they are, some of those revelations are more troubling.
Yeah, that's not something you hear from a team that's winning.
Yes.
It's just not. Yes. And I mean, Brandon Bean pointed out to me before the season that he's never heard, like there have been many times throughout Josh Allen's career where nobody would have blamed him for subtly pointing the finger in somebody else's direction. It happens all the time in the league. A lot of times it gets overlooked by fans, but he's never done it.
Yeah.
And winning quarterbacks don't do it. And I think it goes back to Tyreek and Tua, they're not on the same page. I mean, Tyreek was throwing a fit in the first quarter of the first game on the sideline. His body language is awful. And the culture of that team, it just goes back a couple of years ago when they brought in Vic Fangio as their defensive coordinator. The defensive players didn't like him, so they got him fired. Well, Vic Fangio went to Philadelphia, won a Super Bowl with the Eagles.
Interesting.
Well, the Dolphins have been a total mess. And you know, Mike McDaniel's trying to reel them in and trying to stress accountability. But when you wait until like your fourth year as head coach, it's not going to resonate the way that it would have if you had tried to put the hammer down from day one.
No, it's a messy situation down in Miami.
Yeah, we'll see how the Bills handle it. But Thursday night game, Catherine. It's hard to believe we're already in week three. We'll see how the Bills handle the Miami Dolphins. She's Catherine Fitzgerald. I'm Lance Lysowski. Thank you for joining us for Play Action, the Buffalo News' football podcast. We'll see you in week four when the Bills are getting ready to host the New Orleans Saints.
Treat your team to the most flavorful pizza on game day at Picasso's Pizza. Four great Western New York locations. Williamsville, West Seneca, Lancaster, and Blaisdell. Picasso's. We are Buffalo's pizza since 1980. Order online today at picassospizza.net.